Thank you. Before I launch in, I just want to, well, first, let's get the gist of that. There are no financial relationships to disclose. Before I launch in, I just wanted to tell you, I'm going to provide some background about the work, just to give you an understanding about why we did what we did. Then I'm going to explain what we did, and then I'm going to explain why that matters. Okay? So first, to start with the background, I want to go with place. So thank you, Mark, for already mentioning Southgate. That was very appropriate because Southgate is in California, Los Angeles County. Central, southeast, central. It's about 100,000 people, 7 square miles, so it's a very densely populated area. And interestingly enough, currently around 100,000 people, but that's not counting the undocumented immigrants. Southgate is estimated to have the most undocumented immigrant population from Central America and Mexico in all of LA County. So why are we there? So the bulk of my work is to analyze potential impacts from releases at EPA Superfund sites. EPA Superfund sites are chosen by EPA because they have a great risk to human health or the environment, and they need to be cleaned up for that potential. And in this case, Southgate has 3. Now, I just want to point out the one that's light blue has been a Superfund site since around the early 2000s, but the one in lime green above and the red, they were both listed at the same time, and all these Superfund sites are within a quarter mile of each other. So our work started because of this Superfund site and this one being listed, and anytime a Superfund site is listed, we go into action and basically begin to assess the communities around the Superfund sites. So the people that fund us, Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, they have people like me on all the states that are checkmarked red. Don't worry if you don't see your state there. ATSDR has a head office in Atlanta where they will go and conduct these assessments in states that don't have a cooperative agreement. So what is a public health assessment process? I'm just going to hold this up, what this document ends up looking like. And these are the documents that assess the potential impacts from Superfund releases around Superfund, so the communities that are around them. So basically, what is it? So first it starts out with collecting, and that's environmental data, and it's also data from the communities. They're concerned. How is this disease I have, or is this health condition resulting from the Superfund site? So we collect that data, then we analyze it, and a lot of that is using standards and measurements, and then we prepare it, and then we conduct our outreach to tell the community what we found out, usually in public meetings. So it's a very valuable process. However, this is all of Southgate here. And generally, when we do our assessments, we focus on areas that are just around the Superfund sites because that's generally what the protocol assesses for. Well, when we went to work in Southgate, they knew about Cal and VirusScreen. They had looked at all the data and research, and they were very wise. They knew, well, we know that we're a community with EJ concerns. So what about the rest of our city? And we wanted to honor that. And truthfully, we didn't really know how. We really had to kind of think about it. And we also knew that these EJ concerns, and Mark, I'm glad we have this, because this is going to give some numbers to some of the areas that you had on your map. These are some of the social determinant numbers. So a couple of things just to look at. Obviously, this is Southgate here, and then this is LA County. What one that highlights big for me are the high school grad or greater rates. Another one of the population Hispanic origin. And just to let you know, roughly half of the people in Southgate do not speak English very well. And if you want to even look broader compared to the United States, and that's why this is probably in the 5% category in the country, they're even much more diverse, much more separated. There's also the environmental part. For EJ concerns, they have a large amount of truck traffic. The I-710 corridor runs right through the city, and there's also a very dense amount of traffic inside the city, so they do have air quality concerns. And they also have sort of something that we probably all have seen before in some case or another, we just heard about in Houston as well, the hazardous sites or factories that are near residential areas. But you know, I'd be remiss to say that Southgate doesn't have its amazing qualities too. There is a 98-acre park that has social health, it has wellness programs for children, they have a lot of great programs for the elderly, and people, every time we go down there, and let me tell you, you'll know later, we've been down there quite often now, there's always people utilizing this park to its maximum. So it's a really beautiful place. Plus they have a really thriving commercial district, and they have a commitment to rich history. Something interesting, Amelia Earhart, although she was born in Kansas, she learned to fly in Southgate, California. So it's, they have a really rich history that extends back a long way. So again, going back to the question of how are we going to honor that request from the city? So like I mentioned, a normal PHA, which does address a lot of great things, it doesn't go beyond and kind of look at more of the greater community. So we came up with this concept called an integrated public health assessment. But we knew that it had to be kind of focal point was the community. If we were to just go in there and say, well, we think that this, this, and this should be your new concerns, thanks very much, and that would be great. No, we needed to hear from them, but we had to get a process that would really do that in a rich way. And so we reached out to ATSDR, and they told us to take a look at the protocol for assessing community excellence in environmental health. And we read it, we looked at it, and we liked it because it made the community the decision makers. So there's, in essential, there's 13 tasks of PACH, and they can all be grouped in different themes. So I'll go through these quickly because I'm going to go through each one separately for us. Task 1 through 3, you create a team from the community, and you do this deep assessment of the community. 4 through 5, you create a vision and goals. And then this is one of my favorites, sort of the citizen science. You're teaching your community members that are in your group how to think like health assessors, in a sense, environmental health assessors. Then you need to kind of gain the importance of what all the issues that they want to focus on. Then you get your action plan together, and then you evaluate it. So tasks 1 through 3, this is probably, the groundwork is the base. This is a very important piece here. So first, the community liaisons. So we had 100,000 people, so we knew that us going down on monthly visits wasn't going to cut it. We are in San Francisco area. This is LA County. So we had to find a way that we could go and have people talk to everybody in the community that's a decision maker. Community organizers, principals of schools, the city government, although we already had a great connection with them. It's very important to do this. You have to have a good connection with the city government. PTA members, business owners, faith-based organizations and their ministers. You got to get everybody involved. So we had two. We had one that was very focused on the business side, and she was very technologically, she had a lot of knowledge in that respect too. And then we had somebody who was more on the PTA and community side. And she was also foreign born, and our other person was from Southgate. So we had this really rich mix of two different people. And they were able to gather together a group that decided to be on our CHAT. And that is they even made this emblem. That was one of the first things they did for themselves. Southgate Community Environmental Health Assessment Team. So we had a dean of a community college. We actually have city government, we have county, the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, the Environmental Protection Agency, we have recent college graduates on it, we have a minister on it, and we have the Department of Toxic Substance Control, which is kind of like the people that do on a state level, they look at hazardous waste sites. So we got a great mix. So 4 through 5. So this is their vision that they created, and I'll just read it because I like to. It's great. To make a Southgate that is beautiful, safe, educated, represented, healthy, sustainable, prosperous, clean, and united. So after you get the vision, the protocol says that you need to gather the environmental health concerns of the entire community as best that you can. So you can do informal or formal. So when we asked the CHAT, which ones would you guys like to do, informal or formal, they said we like to do both. So for informal, we created a questionnaire in English and Spanish. Everything is bilingual in all respects, as you can understand. And they went out and collected about 85. We also had an online form for the survey, which collected another 23. And we did something a little different. We put posters up around the community where people gathered. So it was a little more interactive. People could actually write down and tell us what their concerns were. So this is an example of one, so I'll leave it up here if you want to see. It's pretty interesting. So for the formal side, we adopted or we used a rapid needs assessment that the CDC created called the Community Assessment for Public Emergency Response. So you can use it for non-emergency or emergency situations, but the basic idea is you get a statistically valid result on a household level for a community up to 1 million that's randomized, and it's done in roughly 2 to 3 days. It's a lot of work, it takes a lot of energy, and we decided to go for it. And the randomization that I'm talking about basically what my pointer is going to 30 different clusters that are randomized, chosen through a weighted process based on the number of households in each cluster, and then within each cluster, you randomly select 7 homes. So you have 15 teams, and you need to train them in about 4 hours to go out and take all the surveys for you. But we had a very simple survey. It was one page, and it collected just environmental health concerns. And these are the four. From all the survey data that we gathered and collected, our CHAT chose these four that they wanted to look at. So if you're confused with a few, lack of programs to save water, to keep the appreciation for California going, that is a big issue for us right now. And it was for them as well, since roughly 95% of their water does come from groundwater sources. So polluted land, that's actually not super fun. They were looking more in the terms of illegal dumping, which is a huge issue in people's front yards, backyards, and in front of their homes. Outdoor air quality speaks for itself. Public safety, that actually includes street lighting, graffiti, and crime. So right after our CASPER, something really amazing happened, something really cool. Our CHAT was really inspired by this huge effort that we did for the CASPER, that they decided to host their own free environmental health education event. They did all this themselves. They got the speakers, they got the space, they got the food, and they managed to get about 80 people that came out to look at informational booths. This happened in July of this year. They had the US EPA, which is also part of the CHAT. They actually did a walking Superfund site tour, which had about 30 to 40 community members there, and workshops on environmental justice that the CHAT did on their own, as well as in another workshop that we helped them out with was reducing exposures, household chemicals, and so forth. And then they had a lot of not only city but county government support. There was even somebody there that was running for the US Congress House of Representatives. And this is the flyer that they created too. So it was really cool that they did this all on their own. So tasks 6 through 8, I'm going to unpack this slide a little bit. I know it's a lot to look at, but basically this map, there's a fresh map for each issue. And it starts out blank. And you fill it in with the community. So what you're doing is you're going step by step. You're starting at the personal level. On that upper right where it says contributing factors, personal behaviors, and this is the one that we did for public safety. So you have to think, what are the personal behaviors of how crime in this case is increased? And so by not reporting, for instance, is something they had. And you just work through this, the environmental agent condition, what makes it, what are the structures, what's out in your community, gangs, for instance, unsafe streets. So it starts like this, and then for each issue, you just fill it in. Now, basically what you're doing is you're mapping each issue, and as you map each issue and go through each condition, they actually start to understand how to analyze this stuff. And after they do this, then you tell them, okay, come up with a standard to measure what you would think would be non-reporting. And they think about it together, and they come up with that, and a new map comes up. So you're basically creating a way and a method for them to assess their own issues. So at the end, you get indicators, and they're usually clear and acceptable. There's standards that are defensible. It's a really great process. So after you have all your issues analyzed, we're about on step 11 right now, just for disclosure. You profile, rank, and prioritize issues, so basically creating a report of each of the issues that you want. Then you get their importance. And you want to compare each issue to the next one so they know when we start to make action, which one do you want to work on first? And then you prioritize them. And this is when you look at actual in-community concerns. You don't want to consider, the protocol does not want you to consider greater things. They want you to only look at what's best for your community. And then from those two pieces, the ranking and prioritizing, you start to make your action steps that are specific to the community. We want to focus on primary prevention as most that we can. And they're attainable and measurable. So I could have had the last piece up, this resources, looking for resources on every slide. We were very clear with them from the very beginning that we would not be the funders, nor would we be able to tell them and direct them where they would get their resources to actually implement their action steps. So they've been looking for grants. They actually have a grant writer that's on the CHAT now that's going to work for free. And they've been looking at things. Every meeting now is 10 to 15 minutes of, oh, what grant is out there? And people are just actually knocking on their doors now. The word's getting out. So I have a feeling that that's going to solve itself. So some cool surprises. Our chairperson is in his mid-20s. He is a young gentleman in the environmental field. I think right now he's checking underground storage tanks to make sure that they don't have any kind of groundwater issues or any leaks. But he stepped up. He's a young guy. He's not a big decision maker in the community, but he decided to take this commitment. And watching him come forth and become a leader in this movement for him, it has been really great. The social media presence by the CHAT, they have their own Instagram account, they have their own Facebook account. We're not allowed to have our own Facebook account. We are not allowed to have our own Instagram account. So they do all that on their own, and it's great to actually have that vehicle that they can advertise for themselves. The EPA has been greatly benefited by this. I have to say, they're very excited. They now have a solid group that they're not only a part of, but they're a decision maker with, that looks at the entire community that they can have for who knows for how long. Because if you're the EPA at a Superfund site, you're there for years. These sites take decades to clean up. And without a strong community there to actually be with you during the process, it can be very difficult at times. So now they have it, and they're on the ground floor of it. The Casper influence, and I mentioned that that was kind of what created them to have their environmental justice education workshop, and I have that there too. And a couple of neat firsts for us. We didn't know this going in, but this is the first public health assessment that's used a PACH. This is the first PACH that's ever been done in California. There's roughly been 60 in Florida, maybe 10 in Alabama. I just learned of a few in the Midwest, but none in California so far. And then this is the first time that the Casper method was used in a PACH. So what does this mean to our original process? What does all that mean? So what is the public health assessment process plus PACH? So instead of collecting, we're also organizing. Because all the same public health assessment processes are there. They don't go away. Analyzing, we're also educating. Now we're also action planning with the community and for the community. And then outreach, we're also empowering. So all these elements are also provided, and it really enriches the process a great deal. All right, that's it, and that's my contact. So if you have any questions, even after this presentation, feel free to reach out to me, and I can talk to you more about it.
I think we have time for one question, and then we'll have more time at the end.
We got IRB permission on that too, but yeah, we did.
Even though the community was doing that, you still.
Mm-hmm. We got that approved.
I'm curious if Casper has some kind of golden, blanket over it that IRB
tested. Well, I can tell you this. California has done 5 now, and each time they've had IRB approval for each one. That's a good question. I can't answer that, but that's.
Yes. I'm Dr. Bryce. I'm the head of UTSCR, and UTSCR Casper has an OMB approved.